Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
One of our wins from last night. That was a good one. Yeah. Nice, easy, no-sweat winner with the Philadelphia 76ers handling the Dallas Mavericks. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Knicks handling the Lakers. We'll talk about the Jamal Murray injury in just a second here with our NBA takeaways. But I just want to throw this out there. You know, we had Grant Wall on the show yesterday giving us Champions League picks. This Bayern-PSG game is going on right now in Paris. Bayern currently leads 1-0 in the 63rd minute, and I have the game on in front of me here, like I said, watching on Unimas, not just Univision. Univision, yep. More Univision, the name of the station. Yep. And I've got the over. Grant said he liked the over. I thought that was kind of like an easy bet to make.
What is the total?
Three and a half. And I actually think it closed at four. It's 1-0 right now. There should actually be, like, and I'm not even joking, probably like 9 goals already.
I knew this was going to be some absurd number. I know you say you're not joking. That's a really, I don't know if I've ever seen a soccer total close 4 before. That's like a wild number. I mean, I generally only follow like the international competitions when there's nothing else going on. And the totals are obviously dampened really way down in the, you know, park the bus kind of
deeper
knockout
and
World
deeper.
Cup games and
deeper
stuff.
Deeper and deeper. Way, way down. Yeah, way down. I'd like that
way
sound.
Way down in the hole. Yeah. But close 4, which is like absolutely insane if that's the case. So Bayern up 1-0. So what is our aggregate score in this situation?
3-3. PSG both. Though would it, PSG would advance though because PSG so Bayern's on the road right now, but PSG won 3-2 in the first leg.
So 2 away goals. Got it.
So if Bayern scores again and they win 2-0, then Bayern advances by virtue of winning by 2. But if Bayern wins by 1, then they have to win 3-2. They can't win 1-0 or 2-1. They have
right. And it needs to be a very high scoring time. One goal. Yes. Right. Exactly. But so very, it's extremely unlikely there will be extra time in this game. Like extremely unlikely at this point.
Yes, it's unlikely. Yeah. Not impossible, right. But unlikely.
It's basically like, will Bayern score one more goal or not? That's basically the...
There are 19 combined shots in this game and one goal with like some of the best players in the world. I'm in a couple DM chats on Twitter with like some pro bettors, people that do like in the media space that do this. And everyone is kind of like absolutely stunned by the fact that there's only one goal in this game.
Sure.
Just insane. Okay.
And is there another match going on at the same time of note or not so much?
Yes, Chelsea Porto are going on right now. That is 0-0 right now in the 63rd minute. So Chelsea looking extremely likely
right.
to advance.
Okay. Well, that's good. Very good for you, obviously, for people to listen to the show. I'm sure some people added Chelsea futures. You came out and made an impassioned plea for them to win the Champions League. I mean, that was like a month ago now, right? Month and a half ago at this point?
About a month, probably. Yeah. Like that's, yes, that is looking pretty good at this point.
Oh, yes.
I think I have plus 750, and I think they're like plus like 300 now overall. So yeah, looking pretty good. Okay. Kostos and Barkley, you better you bet. BetQL Audio Network. Visit BetRivers.com. Download the BetQL app. Rick, drop the NBA takeaways beat here, and let's hit some of the biggest news that we saw last night in the NBA. And Ken, none bigger than what we saw in this Nuggets Warriors game, where in a game where Steph Curry goes for 53. Yep. And passes Wilt Chamberlain to become the all-time leading scorer in Warriors team history, where that's not the headline here. The headline is, and I was hoping it was just like a hyperextension of his leg, which is kind of what I thought when I first saw it. But Shams and Woj kind of tweeting out the unfortunate news earlier today that Jamal Murray, done for the season, tore his the ACL in his left knee in like the waning moments of a loss when they're down by like almost double digits last night. So that's not even to bag on Mike Malone for having him in, but just like as unfortunate as you could possibly get. So obviously a major blow to the Nuggets, Ken, and their NBA title hopes, their Western Conference hopes. So kind of lay it out for us here. What do you think here, the Nuggets now without Jamal Murray for the remainder of the season?
I think the futures conversation we can have first. There's an MVP kind of sub conversation, and we can kind of spin it from there. Obviously, does the injury prevent the Nuggets from having any chance to win the title whatsoever? I would argue yes, but I would also argue they had such a limited chance to win the title anyway. You know, did they go from 3% to 1% or something like that? Maybe like a small drop, and I think that's you know, if you look at the futures prices today, especially, what you kind of realize is, oh, well, there was actually such a logjam in front of Denver anyway when Jamal Murray was playing, when the Nuggets were in the process of becoming something different that they hadn't yet become yet. They hadn't passed enough teams. They weren't a top two seed in the Western Conference. They weren't going to catch Utah or Phoenix. So if people liked Denver, it was really just because of kind of the ceiling that they thought they could attain eventually. And the prices never reflected that Denver had kind of passed these other teams. So now that Jamal Murray gets hurt, it's like, okay, well, where do the prices go? I think Bet Rivers had plus 1050 to win the Western Conference was what I saw before the show. And, you know, that still implies, you know, an incredibly small percentage, you know, 1050. And there's also like hold and all this stuff we can talk about with futures markets. You know, sub 5% chance to win the Western Conference, but that's kind of where they were anyway. So does it remove all likelihood that they can win the Western Conference? I would say very close to yes.
I've never bet likelihood? On them now. I would have bet on them before, you know, based on, you know, Murray going supernova.
It's sort of like when though, right? Like, yeah, I'm sure people bet them, you know, preseason. I'm sure there were people that bet on them. Jokic was like coming off a top five MVP finish. He kind of ascends. Murray looks great in the bubble postseason. Porter, another year. There was a lot of rumors with like really high profile NBA media guys that the Nuggets were like the team that had a move to make, whether it was going to be Harden or whether it was going to be somebody else. This was in the offseason. And they end up making a move for Aaron Gordon. So I could have seen Denver win total over, futures to win the Western Conference having been popular. This new kind of, you know, run of Denver, you know, it basically it's like if you bet them, you know, you're in pretty bad shape. You're probably dead. But you were also taking a flyer on a pretty high long shot anyway. So the ripple effect of this, I think from a future standpoint, is actually really small, but what it does do is it kind of removes potential roadblocks for other teams that like can, depending on how the seeds can slide and how we get in. And I mean, honestly, the number one ripple effect for this, and it's like so crazy that day after day after day, this is happening. Like the Lakers lose to the Knicks last night. Could the Lakers have had a better 5 days here? I mean, this is like absolutely incredible. Dallas loses again. The Lakers lose, but who cares? Dallas lost again. Murray gets hurt. That's a very likely first round opponent for the Lakers.
And the Nuggets lost the game as well.
And the Nuggets lose the game to lose the game in the standings also. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. It's just wild to me that like a week ago, I'm just running the simulations. And this wasn't like, I didn't say bet against the Lakers. I just said, look, the likely outcome based on what the point spreads are going to be is that they're going to lose like every one of these games. And if that's true, they're going to be in the seven in the play-in tournament. And things couldn't have worked out better for the Lakers if they had scripted it. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the series of dominoes that have fallen. And it's not like the Lakers are cheering for an injury, but they will be the happy recipient of an easier path to the NBA Finals and a potential title. So like the qui bono who benefits from this. I mean, it's kind of all the West teams to a certain extent, that Denver becomes weaker and that's a second round opponent. That's a first round opponent, but the Lakers specifically very likely to have to run into Denver early. And now you get them without their second best player. Once again, like, in the, you know, as it's been true with the last few days, Lakers seem to be kind of receiving a gift here.
Oh, and also, by the way, they get to take on the Hornets tonight. PJ Washington not going to play in the game. Terry Rozier also doubtful. And the Lakers favored on the road in that game in Charlotte. So some more good luck coming the way of the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about their game coming up tonight in just a moment here. And their game against the New York Knicks last night. But I want to talk about Jokic and his MVP odds, because we've been doing a lot on this, Ken, over the course of the last couple of weeks. Yep. On the show. He's minus 225 now. So it's like
probably be higher. Honestly.
Our price is never coming back, it feels like here. Does the Jamal Murray injury, in your opinion, do anything to Nikola Jokic's quest to be the league MVP and cash a bunch of tickets for us?
I think there's an easy narrative answer to both. So my answer is no, but I think the two sides people will take are, okay, well now he's got to do it all himself. So that makes his candidacy look better, right? He doesn't even have the help of like a second star player. And then there'll be another side, which is like, well, they're also more likely to lose games now, which means if they drop to fifth, sixth, seventh in the Western Conference, you know, can he really win the award in that situation? And that one has more weight. The problem is just then who? And then if you're listening to this and you're going, well, Embiid, that's why I'm telling you, that's why that was the other guy that we added, because it's literally the only one that would have made any sense. Luka loses again last night. I mean, just there's nothing else makes sense here. It just seems like we are, I mean, careening toward a, like, Jokic wins unless they totally fall apart, in which case Embiid wins situation. Embiid was awesome last night against Dallas, by the way, like really awesome. I think, you know, do we have updated price? Do you have the Embiid price? I know you said you had Jokic and he was minus two.
I can get it quickly here.
Probably like six or something, five or six, I would guess, is like something similar to what we've seen recently. Because I'm going to guess the value came out of Harden to produce the Jokic 225. That would be my guess. Because Harden's like dead now, basically.
And he's also not Embiid is Embiid's plus 325.
Right. So look at what's happened, right? The idea of, okay, can
Harden's
I add
down
both
to
guys?
12. Giannis is down to 12.
Harden's about to be infinity in about three games. So I think what's happened is you've lost the ability to create a portfolio that pays money, basically. I mean, you've almost lost it. I mean, the margin on a minus 225 plus 325 playing both as like an arbitrage. I mean, you're making so little on 100. I mean, you might make like 10 bucks on 100. I would have to run it, but you've almost lost the ability to milk any other value out of this bet. So that means, I mean, we couldn't. The funny thing is, people would be like, "Well, what if I'm just kidding?" And now we could not have banged the table hard enough and for long enough to make it. I mean, it just day after day after day, like this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen.
I've got so many bets on both of those guys. Yeah. Like I've got so many bets. Like literally, probably five bets on each of Jokic and Embiid to an MVP.
Right. I mean, just like whatever the limits were, like literally go around, like do people have extra accounts in places? There are plenty of ways to get volume on a bet like this. Like books are happy to take your bet on stuff like this. The hold is super high for them. They love it. And they don't have to pay you out for a while. Great. Take my money. And then I'll just take more money back in like 4 months. Cause this was a slam dunk at the time. It couldn't have come through any better.
All right, you bet BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley on a Tuesday, running through some of the nuggets from last night's NBA results. I know we mentioned that the Knicks beat the Lakers 111-96, surviving a 2-for-11 night from RJ Barrett, who had been playing fantastic basketball. Young players, just going to throw up stinkers like that every once in a while here. Julius Randle scores 34. I loved the Knicks last night. Our guy Noobs loved the Knicks last night. Yeah. Any regret for you? And I don't ask questions like this often because you do a great job betting the NBA. But like, I don't know, it kind of felt like the Lakers were probably a little overvalued coming off the Nets when Frank Vogel even saying like, for as good as our offense was against Brooklyn, it was just as bad tonight against the Knicks. Any bet regret for you not laying it with Julius Randle and the New York Knicks?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to pass the game tonight. And I think a lot of people are going to play on the Lakers tonight, to be honest. I think they're going to be a popular bet for people. And I don't blame people for I wouldn't blame people for betting the Lakers. I think I just kind of view the Lakers as like very unpredictable. I don't feel like, with very rare exceptions, I kind of have my finger on the pulse of like, what am I going to get? What kind of makes sense until LeBron and AD come back? I feel like I have such a bad read on them. I can't make a number on them to save my life because it's like a different rotation, different lineup every night. So on a player level, it's just impossible, in my opinion, or just very difficult to feel good about your number. So if that's the case, yeah, like sometimes your gut instinct comes in for sure and the result ends up playing out how you want. But like, honestly, I don't regret it. Just like, I mean, I'm telling you right now, like if the Lakers won tonight, I'd be like, yeah, I kind of felt like that would probably happen. Like awful loss where they played awful in the cushiest spot imaginable. But like, I don't even have the tools to come close to making a good number on it. And if they lost, it also wouldn't surprise me a ton. So yeah, tough when the gut instinct stuff comes in. But, you know, it's happened enough that I learned to get over it really fast.
What do you make of so we mentioned Embiid, right, with his awesome game last night, 36 points as the Sixers beat the Mavericks 113-95. What do we make of, if anything, and this is probably narrative driven here, but maybe there's something here, both Luka and Mark Cuban complaining about the play-in tournament, kind of like both choosing last night to kind of like plant their flag down and be like, yeah, I don't know why we're doing this whole play-in tournament thing. Well, it's you know, because the NBA wants to make money because there's a thing called COVID and like they're trying to make
because they
money.
See Luka and they say, I'd rather market you against Zion Williamson than market an end of week season that literally no one will ever watch.
Yes. So like, is anything to be done? Is there anything to that? Any kind of angle that we can take with this here that like the Mavericks are like starting to become like this whiny, complainy team a little bit. And Luka's kind of got their reputation a little bit now as well. Still a great player. Not saying he's not.
I think this is just the continuation of his personality, which is that he's a complainer. And look, like I liked watching the Lob City Clippers a ton. I didn't like watching them kind of at the end, but in the middle, I really liked watching them. Most complaining team I've ever seen in my entire life. Not even close. Paul, Blake Griffin together. I mean, are you kidding? Like no Doc Rivers coaching. I mean, it's just like the triumvirate of those three guys. And, you know, I think with Luka, it's just, that's kind of going to be his personality type. And this is just the continuation of that. I don't think there's a betting angle. It is really funny because they're going to end up in the play-in a lot, but I don't really see a good way to take advantage of it.
So Dallas is the 7 seed right now. They are, let's see, 3.5 up on. So they're going to get into the play-in tournament. They're 3.5 up on Golden State here, who's the 10 right now. and they're two back of Portland. So I don't know. To me, this kind of tells me that like Dallas feels like it's going to be the seventh seed. They're not going to be able to catch Portland. Okay. Coming up next, Major League Baseball takeaways from last night.